Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls. Hey, ladies, welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm Shauna, and I'm here with women's health nurse practitioner Lindsay Van Schoik. And we're excited to have you tune in today. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, please feel free to go back and listen to those because there's a ton of helpful information. But today we're going to chat with you guys about insulin resistance.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about this because literally like 96% of the population is insulin resistant. Mm-hmm. And every single person's labs that I look at, there's insulin resistance. And So one of the main complaints that we get with people is, I've tried everything, nothing's working. If I just get my hormones balanced, if I just do this, if I just take this pill, if I just get my thyroid, whatever, the weight will come off. And there is no magic solution to just eating properly. Like, no matter how many hormones you take, how many thyroids you take, like how much thyroid medicine you take, how much whatever you take, you have to eat right and exercise and improve your insulin resistance. And so insulin resistance can show up 10 to 20 years before your blood sugars ever show it, right? And so Everyone should have a fasting insulin checked. Everyone. If your doctor won't order it, come see us and we will order it for you. There are sites where you can do Order My Labs. I think there's a site called ordermylabs.com and you can order your own insulin level, like get your insulin level checked. Your insulin level, my cutoff is 6, should really be like 4 or 5. How many times have we seen less than 6?
A lot.
None.
Or you mean over? Oh, you mean less than? Oh yeah. No, not less than. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. So why is insulin so important? Right. This is not insulin resistance is not diabetes. It's the precursor to diabetes. Okay. So insulin is a hormone. It's a hormone. There are not, your hormones are not just estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. We've talked about this in our podcast before. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. That was like podcast, like way back there, but we talked about all the hormones. Yeah. So go listen to it. But insulin is secreted by your pancreas and it plays a huge, huge role in regulating your blood sugar levels. So when you eat, like Shauna just watched me scarf down some berries and some Greek yogurt, which is carbs, right? But I did work out this morning. But when you eat carbohydrates, even fats and proteins too, when you eat, carbs are broken down into glucose, which enters your bloodstream. And in response to that glucose entering your bloodstream, your pancreas releases insulin to transport that glucose from the bloodstream to the cells where it can be used for energy. So insulin is important. You need insulin. You need insulin to transport the glucose from your blood to your cells so you can have energy. Super important. Okay. Insulin resistance, it's a metabolic condition. And it's when the cells that the insulin is transporting become less responsive to the insulin. Okay. So as a result, the pancreas starts producing more insulin to overcome the cell not wanting to take in this insulin. Okay. So initially, the elevated insulin keeps your blood sugars within a normal range. That's why this insulin resistance can show up 10 to 20 years before diabetes. But over time, your pancreas is going to struggle to keep producing all that insulin. So your blood sugars are going to start to rise. And then that's when you're going to start seeing type 2 diabetes. Okay. So insulin resistance, it can manifest itself in lots of different conditions in the body. It can manifest in diabetes, which is insulin resistance of your liver. It can manifest in heart disease, which is insulin resistance of your heart. It can manifest in PCOS, which is insulin resistance of the ovaries. And it can manifest in Alzheimer's, which is insulin resistance of the brain. So I like recently heard this week that PCOS is insulin resistance of the ovaries. And I was like, we should tell everyone that, like, because all my patients when they have PCOS, they think that they just have multiple cysts on their ovaries and that they have to have like abnormal hair growth and loss of cycles and all that type of stuff. When really like PCOS is an endocrine disorder. It's literally diabetes of your ovaries. Like I'm going to start
actually all of that. I think all of that was eye-opening. I've never heard it put that way. Even Alzheimer's with the brain, like all of that. I think that's a really great way to put it because I think a lot of people think insulin resistance is just one thing. And if you have, you're diabetic, yada, yada. But like, that's really eye-opening to hear all the other ways that it can affect.
I mean, if you think, like, think about it, right? What does heart disease stem from? It's normally obesity. It's normally being overweight, having elevated triglycerides. If you're overweight, you're going to have insulin resistance.
Well, right.
If your brain is getting like can't circulate blood, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. So, so many people have it. And I'm not going to lie. Whenever I was running marathons, I had insulin resistance because my body, the cortisol was constantly raised. And so my insulin was like way too high. But plus, I was eating like not great things. But like, you can be eating a healthy diet and still have insulin resistance. So for a lot of the population, insulin resistance is due to the foods that we eat. And like a lot of kids have insulin resistance now, which is super sad to me. But if you think about it, like before 1980s, there wasn't as much insulin resistance, especially in kids, because we didn't have all these tasty foods, right? But now there's so many processed foods. Like the food industry has literally is killing us, but there's so many processed foods filled with fructose and seed oils and GMO grains and artificial sweeteners and no fiber, no fiber at all. And so all those have really just accelerated this rate of insulin resistance. And so like fructose is metabolized in the liver. It's different from glucose. So fructose converts directly into liver fat. So that's why we see a lot of non-alcoholic fatty liver diseases. Like that's why we check liver enzymes in our clients because it can give me an idea of what's going on with our metabolism. But so fructose turns into fat in your liver. It lowers ATP production, which is your cell's mitochondria, and therefore leads to elevated insulin, elevated triglycerides, all that type of stuff. Fiber is something that is really important. And when we look at our foods, we should be looking at how much fiber is in our food. So ideally, like if you're eating something, you want there to be like a like less than 5-to-1 ratio of fiber, right? So if you're eating, like, why do we tell people to eat Ezekiel bread rather than bunny bread? Well, if you look at bunny bread, it's like literally 50 carbohydrates and no fiber. If you look at Ezekiel bread, it's maybe 25 grams of carbs, but there's at least 5 grams of fiber, right? So you're getting some fiber with your carbohydrates. Fiber is so important. And if you're middle-aged and listening to this, if you're not getting enough fiber, you're going to be insulin resistant. So fiber slows down the rise in blood sugar when it's paired with carbs, whatever. That's why like the berries that I just ate in my yummy Greek yogurt, I don't feel bad about because, well, berries are low glycemic. Anyways, but they're full of fiber. So they're going to lower that blood sugar rise. And it was Greek yogurt. So I had protein in it, which you should always eat as well. Right. But a lot of our processed foods don't have fiber in it. And so we're just missing that. A lot of our processed food have seed oils. We did a whole episode on seed oils. So you should probably go back and listen to that. So seed oils are canola oil, soybean oil, rice bran oil, sunflower oil, safflower oil, grapeseed oil, peanut oil. They're inflammatory. If you really want to know about all those seed oils, go listen to our podcast on it. But they're bad. They cause insulin resistance. Artificial sweeteners, like they're okay sometimes, but and they don't have any calories, which is good. Problem with artificial sweeteners is they increase our cravings for sugar and carbs. So if you can control, like if you can drink a Diet Coke, which is me, and I don't crave sweets, that's great. But for a lot of you, if you're eating these artificial sweeteners, it's actually making your body signal to crave more sweets and processed foods, leading to eating more of them, leading to insulin resistance. So that's where they can be bad. If you have gut health issues, they can be bad for that as well, and that they can cause some leaky gut. And leaky gut can affect your liver, which can affect like fat and protein metabolism, all that type of stuff. And then, I mean, lastly, like we know this, but like processed foods are so hyperpalatable. Like the food industry literally makes them so that you want to eat more. Like they increase your dopamine response whenever you eat them. Like how many times after you eat an Oreo, you're like, oh, that's so good. And you feel like this increased dopamine response, but then you crash from the sugar high later. Mm-hmm. But like eating all these processed foods is just not good for us. And it leads to tons of insulin resistance, right? I think that's pretty known to people. Like, duh, processed foods and eating too many calories leads to insulin resistance. But another like, duh, you should know about this is like inactivity leads to insulin resistance. If you're not moving your body, like that is not helpful. And I see this so much in our clients, and it's something that we're really working on. But like, just because you do a 30-minute workout does not mean you can sit on your tush for the rest of the day and not move. Like inactivity, I'm glad you're exercising and I'm glad you're strict training, but like you have to move. So like I have a standing desk, I have a walking pad, like I'm starting to work from home now. So like I have all these things in my office to make sure that I'm moving throughout the day. Like you can't just sit on your butt all day long. You have to move. And so do your exercise, but you also need to be hitting like 8,000 steps. That non-exercise activity that you're doing in the day burns so many calories and helps with insulin resistance. And I tell a lot of our clients, just go on a 10-minute walk. Every time you eat, go on a 5 to 10-minute walk, and that will help lower your insulin response.
Right. And most people too, when they're, you know, exercising how they should be and eating how they should be, it gives them more energy anyway. So they are like up and about. Like people like you or I, it's easy to just be like up and moving because we have the energy from doing the right things. So I think that's something that people need to realize too. Like once you're putting these things in place, like it does get better. You know, you don't feel like just sitting on your butt all the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, you have to exercise. You have to move your body. You have to sleep. Right. Like if you are not sleeping, then you're hungry. Like it affects your hunger hormones. So you have to sleep. Sleeping really, like sleep 7 to 9 hours, get good sleep. This is where I feel like hormone therapy for menopausal women can help a lot, in that a lot of times when we get menopausal, we have sleep issues, and that can lead to, some weight gain. And I will say when you lose estrogen, you do become more insulin resistant. So that's where like hormone replacement can play a role in helping you sleep and helping you lower insulin levels and helping protect your heart. But you can't just take hormone therapy and expect to lose weight. Like it does not work like that. You still have to move your body and eat the healthy foods. And you still might have to do a little bit of intermittent fasting. And you still might have to, you definitely have to increase your protein and increase your fiber amounts. So hormone replacement therapy is great for those hot flashes, night sweats, maybe helping you sleep, maybe helping you have the energy to move your body. But just because you take hormone replacement does not mean that you're going to lose weight. It doesn't mean you're insulin resistance.
And that made me think actually, and I never thought about it this way when you were saying it, but it's hormone replacement therapy, right? So it's just like mindset therapy. You go to a therapist or you go to someone to talk to, but you have to use those tools and you have to go into your outside world and still stay on track and do the things that you're supposed to do to grow. So it's the same thing with hormone replacement therapy. You still have to live the healthy lifestyle if you want those things to work as well as they're supposed to.
Yeah, it's an adjunct, right? Like going to the gym is an adjunct to sleeping, eating right, all those types of things. If you go to pelvic floor therapy for weakening of your pelvic floor, you have to do the exercises when you leave. Like if you go to knee replacement, you can't just only go to physical therapy and expect your knee to heal. Like you have to do the exercises outside of it. It's the same thing with hormone replacement therapy. It is an adjunct to feeling better and doing all the things that you should be doing.
Right.
But people, you know, they don't, why would we want to do that? Stress. Stress can also play a huge role in insulin resistance. If we're constantly stressed out, then our blood sugar, like we're craving unhealthy foods, we're eating unhealthy foods, we're not taking the time to cook foods, you know, all those types of things. So stress plays a huge, huge role in insulin resistance. And if you're middle-aged, like, yeah, you probably need to check your stress because you're taking care of your kids and maybe your parents and you're working and, you know, it can cause a lot of issues, right?
Right. And I know when we're stressed, a lot of ladies reach to those things that are carb heavy and the comfort foods. And yeah, so we just have to make sure we keep that in check.
And the problem I see the most with insulin resistance is that it plays a huge role in leptin resistance. And leptin, I think it's important that we spend a little time talking about this, but leptin's a hormone produced by fat cells and it regulates your appetite and your energy. So leptin signals your brain when it has enough energy stored in the form of fat, whatever, to regulate your food intake and energy index expenditure. So if you have really high levels of leptin, it signals your brain that you're satisfied. So you're going to eat less food and your metabolism is going to increase. Leptin resistance occurs when our leptin levels are really low. And it happens because the body's cells become less responsive to leptin. So similar to insulin. And so that resistance can lead to a disruption in signals in your brain and your body. And it can cause you to overeat, which leads to weight gain, obesity, all that type of stuff. So leptin resistance is normally associated with excess body fat. But the insulin resistance and leptin resistance are interconnected so much. And so insulin resistance can contribute to leptin resistance by like causing impairment in the signaling pathways. But when insulin is present, it can disrupt the function of leptin. So this is where we see like you can test leptin in a lab, but I think most people know if they have leptin resistance because they're always hungry and they never feel satisfied. But I think it's important to know that a lot of what's contributing to that leptin resistance is the fact that your insulin levels are probably really high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what can you do to lower those insulin levels? Well, one, I think that you should know that insulin resistance is completely reversible. If you're a diabetic, like if you're a type 1 diabetic, you don't really have insulin resistance. It's that your pancreas does not work. So this is not, if you're a type 1 diabetic out there, this does not count to you. Type 1 diabetics is literally like your pancreas does not work and do not produce any insulin at all. So you have to inject insulin to bring your blood sugars down. Insulin resistance is contributed to type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's, PCOS, heart disease, stuff like that. And it is completely reversible through diet, nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress management, and sometimes we need some supplements and meds to help. Sometimes we need some hormone replacement to help. Sometimes we need some metformin to help. I know a lot of our clients, the first thing that we start with is berberine. I love berberine. Love it. So berberine is a naturally occurring substance that can help lower blood sugar. So it works like metformin. So it supports normal blood glucose and fat metabolism, lowering your insulin and blood sugar levels. But it doesn't have all the nasty side effects of metformin.
Right.
Metformin causes a lot of GI distress.
You won't be pooping your pants.
Yeah. Metformin can cause a lot of GI disturbances, and a lot of people that are diabetic take metformin. But we always start people with berberine, and then if we need to, we could go to metformin. So always lifestyle first, then we can add in some berberine, metformin. And then if you're really doing all the things, like you're literally doing all the things and your weight isn't budging because you have so much insulin resistance, because I think it's important to know that insulin is a fat-storing hormone. So if your insulin levels are like crazy high, sometimes it can be harder to lose weight because those insulin levels are so high because it is a fat storage hormone. So sometimes people with really high insulin levels that are doing all the right things, sometimes they might need a little help from the GLP-1s. But this is where I'm okay with GLP-1s is if you are literally working with a health coach and you're doing everything that you need to be doing, and you're using these drugs for a short period of time to bring your insulin levels down, to get your leptin under control, That way you can wean yourself off of them. The problem is that a lot of people are taking these drugs and not doing any of the lifestyle changes. And so when they come off of them, they gain all the weight right back. And so if you're not willing to put in the work to do the lifestyle changes and you go on this drug, you're going to be on it for the rest of your life. And we don't know the long-term side effects of it because it has not been studied. And it's expensive.
Right. And I think it's important to note that, like, you're not just saying that. I mean, we see it multiple times a day. Like, I'm talking to women who come in all day and I hear it all the time. So it's literally happening constantly to women who are going on this shot and these drugs, who want to lose weight and they want it quick. And then they have to deal with the consequences and they go off and they gain the weight back plus more. You know, it's just, it's a shame, but I mean, we see it all the time. So it's true.
They're a tool. They're an adjunct therapy to doing the right things that we've talked about. Right. And they're not meant to be long-term. They're not meant to be forever. I mean, Big Pharma wants you to stay on them forever. That's why they're not making you do a nutrition and exercise component when prescribing them, because they make a shit ton of money on it. Right.
Yeah.
But we don't know the long-term effects of them, and who literally wants those side effects forever. Like, the constipation, like, literally it slows down your digestive system, which is why you're not hungry. Like, for some people, they're nauseous all the time. They can't poop. And so, like, you really have to weigh the benefits and the risks of it. And you have to be doing everything else right before you should go on these drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just think we need to understand how insulin works, and we need to understand that, I think this is really important if you're a parent, because there are so many kids with insulin resistance out there now. And I mean, we're guilty of it sometimes too. And let's go get Dairy Queen. But like, you're literally feeding your kids all this sugar. And like, the studies are now showing that if your kid has a weight problem, you're setting them up to have a weight problem in adulthood, because those fat cells that they're creating and storing now, those fat cells never go away. You can shrink them, but they never go away. So get rid of the processed food in your house. It's a treat. It is not a staple, right?
Right.
Your kid's diet should be just like your diet. It should be meats and vegetables and things that come from the ground and things that have a mother. It shouldn't be all these hyper processed foods. And yeah, your kids want them. I know they do, because the food industry has made them.
Because ours do.
Yeah. And the food industry's made it that way, right? But you're the parent. Like, put your big girl pants on and tell your kids that, hey, I'm just not buying it. And you can have it when we're out and about, but it's not going to be in our house.
Right. And I honestly tell some of my ladies that. I see, if it's something that you feel like, if it's in your house, you're going to eat it until it's gone, don't have it in your house. Like, there's no reason. I know that there are certain things that used to be a trigger for me that I said, I'm not keeping it in here, because even if it's stupid trail mix, I'll eat the whole dang bag of trail mix. So I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn, and just don't keep it in your house. Why? If you want to be healthy, why? I mean,
your kids have trigger foods too, right? Like, I know the foods that my kids, like, if I turn around, I'm like, how did that all get eaten? You know, like, don't buy those. Those are like a rare special occasion. Now, like, there's tons of goldfish in my pantry, and my husband's like, why are you buying goldfish? Because I keep so we do Walmart pickup, and it's just like, I just add stuff to the cart. And so there's probably 10 boxes of goldfish in my pantry. He's like, stop buying goldfish. But like, my kids aren't pigging out on goldfish. Like,
yeah,
they're a good snack for them. Right. Like, but they're not. Now, if I bought Oreos every week, that bag would be gone in 1 minute.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So, even though you got that meat bucket,
I know, I
do that. Still be going after those Oreos.
Especially over the meat bucket. But that's the thing, too.
Yeah, that's just how it is.
If you're struggling with this, like, a good tip is always eat your protein first. Because we know you women are really lacking on protein. So protein first, always. And eat so much protein that you're like, I don't want any more of this. And then all that's going to be left room for is like a little bit of your carbohydrates and your vegetables, right? Like, be like Shauna and just grab the steak and eat it without silverware.
You know, I was thinking, I'm going to make a t-shirt, and it's going to say Rejuvenating Health. And then the tagline is going to be protein first, always. That's going to be it.
Picture
and I'm going to wear it. Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to make it cute. So maybe not a steak, but it would be, I mean, that's my slogan. I'm going to go with it.
I love it.
Watch out, ladies. Be on the lookout. Protein first, always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is good. And I think, too, there were a lot of things that we chatted about that I'm sure a lot of ladies didn't know. So as always, it was super helpful for sure. But if you ladies, like Lindsay said, if you haven't listened to the hormone episode back at the beginning, please tune into it. But we'll link it below when this podcast comes out. So you ladies can also go back and listen to the seed oil post and the hormone post before. But thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you girls next time.
Bye, see ya, ladies.